Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Granthraj Mad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 36 and 37. 36 does not have a purport. Thank you so much. 36 does not have a purport, so I'll read 36 alone and then 37. We'll read together. Okay. Vimrijaya Shuni Pani Bhyam Vis. I'll read this one alone. Yeah. Vishta Bhyatmanam Atmana Ajata Shatam Prachut Pratyuche Prabhupada Vanusmaram. First, he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence and wiping away his tears and thinking of the feet of his master, Dhritarashtra, he began to reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So we'll read this one together. But first I have to do... Okay, yeah, anyways. Sanjay. Uvacha. Naham. Veda. Yabasitam Pitror Va Kula Nandana Kandarya Va Maha Baho Mushito Smi Mahatma Bihi. Sanjay Uvacha Naham Veda Vyabasitam Pitrova Kulanandana Gandharyava Mahabaho Mushitosmi Mahatma Bhi. Sanjay Uvacha Naham Veda Vivasitam Pitrova Kulanandana Gandharyava Mahabaho Moshitosmi Mahatma Bihi. Please chant.
Sanjaya Vacha,
Sanjaya Uvacha. Sanjaya said, Na, not. Aham, I. Veda, no. Yavasitam, determination. Pitro, of your uncles. Vaha, your. Kula, Kulunandana, O descendant of the Kuru dynasty. Gandharyaha, of Gandhari. Va, or. Mahabaho, O great king. Mushitaha, cheated. Asmi, I have been. Maha Atmabihi, by those great souls. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sanjaya said, My dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls. Purport. That great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. It is said that Lord Krishna also advised Yudhishthira to tell a lie before Dronacharya, and it was also for a great cause. The Lord wanted it, and therefore it was a great cause. Satisfaction of the Lord is the criterion of one who is a bona fide, and the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty. That is the verdict of Gita and Bhagavatam. Yatha pravrittir bhutanam yenam sarvam idam tatam sukarmana tam abhyacharya siddhim vindati manavaha atam pumbir dvija shreshta varnashram vibhagashaha svanoshtasya dharmasya samsitir haritoshanam. That's from Gita 18:46 and Bhagavatam 1:2:13. Dhritarashtra and Vidura, followed by Gandhari, did not disclose their determination to Sanjaya, although he was constantly with Dhritarashtra as his personal assistant. Sanjaya never thought that Dhritarashtra could perform any act without consulting him, but Dhritarashtra's going away from home was so confidential that it could not be disclosed even to Sanjaya. Sanatana Goswami also cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in relation with the Absolute Truth. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. Om Ajnana Timhindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabharantikam Panchika Patribhishta Kripa Sindhavi Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavimbhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sanjaya uvacha naham veda vivasitam patrarva kulanandanam gandharyava mahabaho muchitosmi mahatmabihi. Sanjaya said, My dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls. Thank you, everyone, for coming this morning. Srimad Bhagavatam class. So one thing I was thinking of when I read this was how Dhritarashtra, although was advised so many times by his well-wishers like Vidura and others to give up his wicked ways and his material attachment, still, because of his spiritual blindness, he was attached to the material energy and attached to his material family members and neglected the advice of the great souls. And I was thinking how in so many ways Krishna is always trying to give everybody good advice constantly. Within, you know, the super soul is always trying to guide people back to him in so many ways. But still, just like the blindness of Dhritarashtra, people are blind and they neglect these opportunities to surrender to Krishna. And one thing that I'd like to read really quick is a letter from Srila Prabhupada. He wrote to Mahatma Gandhi in 1947. And in connection with this, he's trying to give Mahatma Gandhi good advice, but still Mahatma Gandhi is neglecting that good advice due to material attachment. So this is July 12, 1947. My dear Mahatmaji, please accept my respectful namaskar. I am your unknown friend, but I had to write to you at times and again, although you never cared to reply back. I sent you papers back to Godhead, but your secretaries told me that you have very little time to read the letters and much less for reading the magazines. I asked for an interview with you, but your busy secretaries never cared to reply to this. Anyway, as I am your very old friend, although unknown to you, I am again writing to you in order to bring you to the rightful position deserved by you. As a sincere friend, I must not deviate from my duty towards a friend like your good self. I tell you as a sincere friend that you must immediately retire from active politics if you do not desire to die an inglorious death. You have 125 years to live as you have desired to live, but if you die an inglorious death, it is no worth. The honor and prestige that you have attained during the course of your present lifetime were not possible to be obtained by anyone else within the living memory. And he goes on to explain that this honor and prestige is the illusory energy of Maya, that you should just surrender to Krishna. And he goes on to say that if you do not retire timely from politics and engage yourself 100% in the preaching work of Bhagavad Gita, which is the real function of the Mahatmas, you shall have to meet with such an inglorious death. So it almost sounds like the Bhagavatam, what Vidura was speaking to Dhritarashtra in the same chapter. And in these past few days, we've been reading the good qualities of Yudhishthira Maharaj, that although Dhritarashtra was so wickedly trying to kill the Pandavas, agreeing to these horrible acts, still in time of desperation, Yudhishthira Maharaj gave shelter to Dhritarashtra. And this is an example of the great purity of heart and compassion of the pure devotees. Trinadapi sunechana chororape sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahadi. The first time I actually spoke to my spiritual master, I asked him about this verse. I stopped him and I humbly asked, how can one have this consciousness, Trinadapi sunechana consciousness, while we're chanting? And he just shook his head, kind of in disappointment that I didn't understand. He said, not only while you're chanting, but you should dedicate your whole life to this verse. Center your whole life around this one verse. And so the great souls give us different barometers in which we can measure how much advancement we're making in our spiritual life. And we can analyze ourselves in each situation. Are we trying to become more humble than a blade of grass in this situation? Are we trying to become more tolerant than a tree? Are we seriously endeavoring to give up this desire for false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others without wanting any respect in return? My Guru Maharaj also says that we should see every Vaishnav as better than ourselves, more advanced than ourselves, because it does many things simultaneously. It pleases Krishna very much so if we see it with that mentality, and it also automatically helps us avoid offenses. If we're seeing everyone as a worshipable deity, part and parcel of Krishna, then there's no chance we can make offenses in that mentality. So this humble attitude, it's it's really easy to speak about. I can say so many words on it, but it's not the easiest thing to live by. But at least we have a goal to strive for, a standard that we are trying to achieve, and a way to measure our success, our progress. So it's not a matter of like artificially forcing your mind to think in a certain way, to think in a humble way, but it's a matter of seriously endeavoring to purify your heart and seriously being sincere. Like, do we, asking ourselves, do we really want to become pure devotees or not? You know, the opportunity is there to please and love Krishna at every opportunity. But it's actually up to us. We could become, there's examples in the Bhagavatam, people becoming pure devotees in an instant. Like Maharaj Katvanga, he got the benediction. He got the benediction to know anything he wanted to. And he asked, when will I die? When will I leave my body? And it was revealed to him that actually your time is up. You only have a few seconds left. So he immediately fixed his mind on Krishna and went back to Godhead. So in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how he's impartial to every living entity, to every jiva tattva. So we can understand that there's millions of jivas right now as we speak in Goloka Vrindavan, but there's so many of us here struggling in the material world. So the Vrajavasis are very exalted, of course, but still many of them are jivas like us. So the difference is that they are serious about pleasing and loving Krishna, and those in the material world, not so serious. And we're into pleasing our Krishna, or Prabhupada says in one purport, that instead of having devotion for Krishna, we have devotion for our belly and our genitals. He says this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the residents of the spiritual world, they're accepting this unlimited mercy of Krishna that Krishna is making available for every living entity. So like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that if you, to that degree that you endeavor to please him, to that degree he'll reciprocate. But the pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, actually modify this standard and they make Krishna more readily available to us. Because Prabhupada modified this and he said, actually, if you take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. So we actually get more, by every step we take from Krishna, we get more mercy, we get more than we're giving, because Krishna is all-merciful. And Prabhupada also said, with every Krishna book we distribute, we're one step closer back to Godhead. And also, one thing I remember, in the 11th canto, the son of Lord Rishabhdev, Sri Kavi, which is one of the nine Yogindras, he was explaining that three things happen simultaneously when one surrenders to Krishna. First of all, devotion is awakened within his heart. He gets a direct experience of Krishna, and he becomes free from material attachments. Just as nourishment and pleasure of the tongue and freedom from hunger happen simultaneously and increasingly with every bite of food someone takes when he's hungry. So on a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada also gave this standard of measuring our progress. He said that we can examine ourselves, how we're becoming free from material desire, becoming free from lust, anger, and greed, and false prestige. And in this way, to that degree, you're becoming free from these things. You can understand that much progress you're making. And then one devotee asked in the same morning walk, but Prabhupada, what if we're endeavoring, but these things are not diminishing, they're still there? And Prabhupada said, well, chant more attentively and more hearing and chanting. He said, only 16 rounds, chant 64 rounds. That's what Prabhupada told this devotee in this morning walk. And one time I made a calculation that if you chant 16 rounds a day, you chant 27,648 names of God. That's not including all the kirtan. So if you do this for a whole year, you're chanting 10,174,644 names of God. And for 10 years, it's 101,000,000 744,640 names of Krishna. We can just imagine if for 10 years chanting that many names, if we were attentive every name and we were sincerely crying out for Krishna, how much advancement we'd make. So it's up to us. We have to find for ourselves like the perfect combination of chanting, reading, hearing from the sadhus, engaging in service. And everyone is an individual, so everyone will have a particular taste for certain angas of devotional service over other limbs in devotional service. So it's an opportunity for us and a responsibility for us to find that that combination of hearing and chanting that will help us become absorbed in Krishna. And of course, Sankirtan, congregational chanting and giving Krishna to others is the center, should be the center in the forefront of our lives. Prabhupada said that chanting the holy names is like 99% of our advancement, something like that. So in yesterday's purport, Prabhupada was describing how Dhritarashtra had left home in an enthusiastic cheerfulness to find a better life after departure from the dark well of home. And he was explaining that unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life artificially. And Krishna also says this in the second chapter, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraha Rasidinaha Rasa Vartam Rasopyasa Param Drisva Nivartate, that the conditioned soul may be may stray away from material sense objects, but if that taste for sense objects remains, it's not going to last. He has to actually find a higher taste, this Param Drishva. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining how to get that. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagmanir Varpanam. And fully engaging in the Sankirtan, like what we were just doing 20 minutes ago, ecstatic Sankirtan is the way that you can purify your heart the most. And this bliss that everyone's looking for becomes manifest in your heart. So one devotee was asking Prabhupada one time that, is dancing and chanting in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, namely the gopis? And Prabhupada said, yes, actually, if you have this mentality, you've realized the inner meaning of Sankirtan. So that's what it is. It's serving the divine couple. Hare Krishna is Radha Krishna, non-different. So especially when we go out of our way to give Krishna to others, this gives us a higher taste like no other. And we can see why are we experienced. If someone's experiencing a higher taste, it's an indication that Krishna is pleased. The more you please Krishna, the more Krishna will let you experience this blissful absorption in Him. And so, like we had one story, Bhakta Josh and myself, Bhakta John, yeah, in Utah, we were we met a person named John. We woke up, like 4 a.m. or something like that, and he had to get warm clothes because Utah was pretty cold at this time. So at around 4:30, we started our Mangal Arti by going into Walmart, 24-hour Walmart, and buying some warm clothes for Bhakta Josh, and we were wearing tilak, after we showered. And this one guy is like shopping also, looking at jackets, and he looks at us and he's like, "What the hell is on your forehead?" And so I start explaining kind of what tilak is, and I'm saying, yeah, it's a sacred clay from sacred rivers in India. We put it on different parts of our body. And he was like, "Whoa, can I have some of that stuff?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So we met him outside after we got done shopping about 20 minutes later. And we see him, he's waving us down, so we drive over there. And we start having this conversation, and he's explaining his life story and how he's looking for something higher. And we give him some tilak, some Radhakund water. We give him a book, and we have him chant the Maha Mantra. And he was saying that his daughter is trying to become more spiritual, and that him and his daughter will read the book together, and he'll put the tilak on, and he'll try chanting the mantra. And we went away, and you could tell he's just had a blissful experience from that. And just from this one interaction with this one living entity, Bhakta Josh and I, and I'm sure Bhakta John also, were experiencing some sort of higher taste by engaging in the Sankirtan mission. And just recently, we actually met a cowboy also. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains that the cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of a cow. And so we made a we also did a calculation for this. I looked it up on Google, and it says because of the body of the cow, for every square inch, there's up to 1 million hairs. And then we were trying to calculate how many square inches are on a cow. So we kind of calculated that person is going to have to suffer for somewhere around 1 trillion years in a hellish life. But by the mercy of Gaura Nithai in this golden age, you know, even a butcher can get Krishna Prema, pure love of God. So to go on with the story, we were at a gas station in the middle of, like, going, we're in Arizona in this small little hick town place, and we were pumping our diesel in the van. And right in front of us, there was a man in a white truck, and he was a cowboy. He had a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and a cowboy dress, big mustache. And in the back of his truck, there was like a replica of a bull head, like a metal bull head, like a bull's head, the animal. And we just looked at each other, and we're like, man, if he doesn't get a book right now at this gas station, he might not ever have a chance. So I grabbed, because he was about to leave, so I grabbed the closest book near me. It was a Nectar of Devotion. And I just grabbed the Nectar of Devotion. I went out, and I said, hey, what is that in the back? Is that a bull head? He's like, oh, yeah, that's for me to practice with my rope to catch them from their horns and catch the bull. And I was just trying to be friendly. I was like, wow, how long you practice? How many times you do that a day? He's like, up to 300, you know, so I'm good, I could good and get good practice. And I'm like, dang, man, you must be pretty good at that. I really like your mustache, man. You look like my dad. And he started laughing. And then I said, well, anyways, yeah, we're volunteers, and we volunteer at festivals, and we give out these books. And he immediately was, like, very happy to take the book, and I said, we just ask a donation. And just immediately he gave, like, $5, $10 or something like that. That's mercy of Lord Chaitanya, mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So the purport goes on to explain that the great souls, they cheat others. You know, it may be astonishing, but it's a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. So Srila Prabhupada, we can see, is cheating people. You know, for most of us, we probably don't come to Krishna consciousness with this mentality of complete surrender, full surrender. You know, we're told that, you know, you should keep everything as you are, and you just add Krishna to your life, you know, chant here and there. But the more we chant, the more we become purified, the more we advance, and then we realize that actually we have to give up everything. And we're giving up everything and just dedicating our heart and soul to Krishna. So in this way, the great souls are going in like a needle and out like a plow. They're perfect at giving us the right dose of medicine so that we can eventually take the full dose. So this cowboy had no idea what happened to him that day. You know, giving his Lakshmi to the Sankirtan movement and receiving the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, his material life is finished eventually. You know, in the next 10,000 years of this golden age, whoever comes in contact with the Sankirtan movement, very high possibility he will go back to Godhead. So that's why it's important for us to go out on a limb and give Krishna to others. And anyways, in this purport, there's a couple other things. How do you turn this back on? Okay. I was explaining Sanatana Goswami how he cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to see Lord Chaitanya. And Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. And Prabhupada was saying that to satisfy Krishna, You know, we can do anything, whatever pleases Krishna. And Kavi Kanapur in Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, he lists the associates of Lord Chaitanya and describes their eternal sarup in the spiritual world. He says, Sanatan Goswami is Lavanga Manjari and Raghunath Das Goswami is Vrati Manjari, the eternal maidservants of Srimati Radharani. And in Rupa Goswami in the Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, he explains, he names all these associates of Krishna. He explains all the main associates of Krishna, what they look like, their relationship with Krishna, and their service in the spiritual world. So we can, it's a great opportunity for us as followers of Srila Prabhupada and the six Goswamis to dive deep into these literatures and become absorbed and gain great inspiration. Because his statement yesterday that I quoted in the purport, that unless convinced of a better life, one cannot stick to the renounced order. So if we become absorbed in Radha Krishna Leela and Vrindavan and understanding what's on the other side, understanding what's in our future, you know, it gives us so much hope. It's something to look forward to, and it's very exciting once when reading these literatures. And by experiencing a higher taste, understanding what's going on in the spiritual world, it gives us also a great impetus to easily give up our mundane attachments and to dedicate our life to Lord Chaitanya's movement. So just as Sanjaya, he received the mercy of Vyasadeva to have this mystic ability to have this sort of television-like propensity to see what's far away, and like when he was seeing the battle of Kurukshetra. Similarly, if we please our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada explains that the pure devotees have spiritual television, that they can sit down anywhere and meditate and actually enter into the pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan within their heart. And this is both our aspirations, to first of all work hard for the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and by doing that it gives us a momentum or a taste for hearing and chanting. Just like Lord Chaitanya, this verse, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, by engaging in Sankirtan, you purify the heart, but Shanada Pisunachana, with a humble heart, submissive and tolerant attitude, then Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim, you become free from your anarthas, and then Nayanam Galadushu Dayaya, you actually gain a ruchi, a taste for chanting. And from chanting more and more attentively, then the verse Yugayatam Nameshena, then we develop this extreme attachment and the desire to see Krishna, to love Krishna, to experience Krishna more and more. And then Ashlisya Vaparatam Manishnamam, you become completely sold out to the order of your Guru and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 100%. You know, Atmanivedanam, it's full surrender. So that's getting a little late. That's all I have to say for now. If there's any questions, I'm willing to try to answer them, or any corrections. I think Amala Bhakta Swami.
Unless someone has a question, I can wait. Nobody has a question.
Okay, then this is just a brief comment. Thank you very much for a very insightful and very excellent class on the various principles that you cited. There was just one point that you had made, and I just wanted to just further comment on it, and that you had mentioned that when one, at the beginning, and one just gives, one joins Krishna consciousness, he just is asked to just, you don't really have to give up anything, just add Hare Krishna to your life, and that's all. But in the ultimate analysis, you end up giving everything. I believe that's what you had mentioned. You have to give up everything. So actually, in reality, give up nothing, because there's no giving up. You see, what one does is he changes the purpose of it. So whatever he has, there's no question that I have to give it up. I have to use it in the loving service of Krishna, which is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Therefore, of course, what we have in Catholicism, their idea is, yes, just give everything up because everything is bad, material world is bad. The only way you get rid of this is that by renouncing everything and just basically have nothing, and then you'll be fit for heaven or the divine world. But our situation is, no, you don't have to. And in the ultimate analysis, as a person gets older, these things which you use in the loving service of Krishna, many of those things will give you up, and they'll give you new things to have and to desire, which are of a higher level, which brings you into a deeper understanding and level of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, the point is nobody has to worry about giving up, and you have to use it in a different purpose. That's all.
It seems like the last sentence of the purport could be easily used to do things that are not right, that you can cheat for Krishna. I remember I was a hippie hitchhiking across Canada. I ran into what was called then a bloop devotee, and he would steal things from the stores. He had a nice backpack and nice shoes and a tent and a sleeping bag, and he said he would steal me some stuff. I said, well, isn't that bad karma? He said, no, you do it for Krishna. You can do it for Krishna. They're stealing from Krishna, so we're liberating it. And I wasn't quite sure about that. But anyway, he told me about the Janmashtami celebration in British Columbia, so I made it to that. So that was one good thing. But to other people, if they get caught stealing or doing things that don't look right, they don't understand that philosophy. So should we still, you know, how do we see what we can do from Krishna that would be considered cheating and whatnot?
Yeah, you can answer much better than I can, but I will try to answer. Actually, the first time Dr. Josh and I went traveling, we went to a Trader Joe's, and I packed up. We were shopping, and I said, yeah, get anything you want. Just pile it up, and we're just getting things. And then after about 20 minutes or 30 minutes of shopping, Josh is like, okay, so are we going to go to the cash register? And then I said, no, you don't know? We don't pay for things. We're just going to dash and run to the van with this cart. And he's like, okay. Should I pull the van up so we can get an easy getaway? Of course, I was kidding, but yeah, so we base our lives on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You know, like there are some examples of young devotees in the early days, you know, were stealing things with a good intention. You know, they had that mentality of trying to please Krishna, not spending Krishna's money and saving it so we can engage in more service. But Prabhupada said, you know, we shouldn't steal. You know, we shouldn't steal anything. First of all, I can create a bad reputation for our movement, and it's not good for our own spiritual life. You know, this verse in Isha Upanishad, Isha Vasam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat Tenam Tyaktenam Bhujita. So, to just take things according to your allotment that Krishna gives you automatically, not taking things that aren't in our possession, you know. So understanding what the guru and the sadhus and the shastra is saying. So this verse here is transcendental cheating. Just like Narada Muni, he cursed the two sons of Kuvera to become trees. Seems like he was cheating them from a good opportunity to enjoy. But actually, it was a great blessing that they could become purified and fully surrender to Krishna. So in the same way, the advanced and intelligent introspective devotees will engage people in such a way that even if they might have to so-called cheat them, it's for their ultimate good of going back to Godhead. Not that we take things from the Shastra and exploit them for our own satisfaction. Does that make sense a little bit? Maybe Archita can enlighten us more on this subject.
It's pretty obvious. It was answered in the purport where Prophet said, Krishna told Yudhishthira to lie. Otherwise, as stated by Mother Earth herself, she can bear any weight except the weight of a liar. So lying is very bad. But if God himself tells you to lie, then you lie. That's why Prabhupada put that in there. It's not just whimsical, you do whatever you want and call it transcendental. It has to be connected to Krishna. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you about follow-up. Because you mentioned so many interesting characters like Bhakta John and the cowboy with the mustache. Are you staying in contact with them? It would be very nice to hear their progress, how Bhakta John is progressing and how that cowboy is progressing by reading Nectar of Devotion. So did you get their contact information?
Not these particular people, but we do get a lot of people's contact that I feel are... Because it takes a lot of time and energy, for me at least. You know, maybe if I got the contacts and gave it to others, it would help out.
Yeah.
But I found in my own personal... Maybe I could do better with this, but I found in my own personal life, it's hard to... Because I'm meeting so many people per day.
Yes, exactly.
Does that mean I get so many people's contact and follow up?
That's why I want to suggest that you take these matcha cards that I had printed. I have them in Spanish and in English. At least stick that in the book. And if they become interested, they'll at least call...
We
the
do
number
that.
On yeah. the card and get some follow-up information. Because, yes, devotees like yourself will go out every day and meet the public. You know, follow-up is not necessarily the most important thing for you to concentrate on. You're concentrating on getting the books out there. But there are others on the side who don't go out every day who can answer the phone. That's why the phone number is there. As far as possible, if you can get it yourself, great. But don't slow yourself down to do it. Put the card in the book and get them to call. And then we can follow up from this side.
We do that. We have two cards we pass out. One's chantnow.com, and it has a really nice website. And if people are interested, they can email devotees. Then there's beamonk.org that I give to prospective brahmacharis, like men of a younger age that seem extremely interested. And people that take more interest, I do get their contacts, and I do call them and things like that.
Jai, Haribo.
Yeah. Jai. Dr. Josh wanted to say something.
Thank you for the class, Ananda Kirtan Prabhu. I just wanted to add a comment to Bhakta John. We also gave him Maha Prasad.
Oh. Jai. He got the whole package. You know? Yeah. Okay, Shriman Bhag. Oh. Maharaj.
Yes. It had to do with cheating, transcendental cheating. First of all, on the selling of the book, Srila Prabhupada made it very clear that we should sell the book on the basis of the value of the book. What's in the book, how it can help a person, how it can help him overcome his stress and his anxieties and uncertainties and so forth, and how does it do that? We should know that. In other words, Prabhupada said, we should read these books, understand these books, and be able to preach them and convey them to the people who are there. So that there should not be, the book doesn't have to be sold on. But there's another thing. There are different degrees of cheating. Okay, two examples. A person is talking to a person and he's basically got the book sold. The man is taking out a wallet. He says, well, I'd like to give you a $5 bill, but I don't have a $20 bill. So the devotee says, well, I can get change for you. There's a store right over there. And he says, okay, I'll wait here. So he goes over there and he just keeps going and he never comes back. Okay? Yeah, he steals the $20. This is another, he cheated to get $20 already. He had $5, but that wasn't good enough. He wanted to get the whole thing and he would disappear and go someplace else. This is a very gross form of cheating. This is not transcendental cheating. And then another devotee, having the same situation, he sees a $20 bill, and the man wants to give him $5. So what he does is he tries to explain to the person that, yes, this book is certainly worth $5, but it's really worth $50. And you're really getting a bargain. It's really a deal. So it's a steal. So if you really want to do some good for yourself, and you really want to get more benefit from the book, why don't you give a little extra? You know, give 10 or 15. Believe me, when you get finished reading this book, you will be glad that you gave the extra 15. And you'll probably want to get another book. So, okay, that's transcendental cheating also. But it's very, it's beneficial. And the person may give an extra $5 or $10, although he really didn't want to give more than $5 to begin with. So in that case, you convince him to give more on the basis of the value of the book and not that you do something gross which will cause him to stay, think or feel that these people who go around these Hare Krishna, they're just a bunch of thieves. We don't want them to have that idea. We want them to have the idea that we love what we have, we're glad to give what we give, and we hope that you will also enjoy it, and that's all we want is your happiness. That's the main point. So if transcendental cheating can bring that point, then we're in good shape. It's really not cheating. It's truth. Because they come to like the book and they come to practice what's in the book. That's truth. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.